everyone. I'm Jensine Bard, and welcome to Testimony, where truth is told, lives are changed, and hope is given. Revelation 12:11 tells us that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, a testimony of your story for His glory.
He is founder and president of AmericanFaith.com, senior pastor of InfluenceChurch.org, and an internationally recognized biblical prophecy expert, cultural thought leader, passionate patriot, entrepreneur, and best-selling author of 11 books, his latest, It's Midnight in America, Confront Fear and Embrace Courage as the Final Hour Approaches, and this just for starters. With a Bachelor of Arts, a Master of Divinity, and postgraduate studies at Oxford University, my next guest is not only well-versed, as his highly acclaimed and best-selling One Nation Without Law will attest, but is also a sought-after voice for mainstream media, CNN, Fox News, The History Channel, just to name a few, bringing clarity and bridging divides in all sectors of life. And there's more. As president of the New York Executive Coaching Group, Phil is empowering CEOs, presidents, and other industry leaders to surpass their personal and professional benchmarks, his clientele spanning Fortune 500 magnates to luminaries in art, finance, and philanthropy. In short, a voice that has paid the price for what you will hear today. Ladies and gentlemen, would you welcome to Testimony, a high honor indeed, Dr. and Pastor Phil Hotzenpiller. Pastor Hotzenpiller, Phil, if I may, welcome to Testimony.
Oh, thank you so much. It's a joy to be with you and look forward to this engaging conversation we're going to have about what really concerns all of us, and that is the future. And what does it look like from a biblical perspective?
Well, amen and amen. First of all, before we get started, I just have to say your book is fantastic, so well written. And secondly, I was also very interested to learn in my research of you, Pastor Phil, that you are a descendant of William Brewster, 11th grandfather, who authored the Mayflower Compact, and that you come from a military family that reaches back to the Revolutionary War reference, Lieutenant Colonel Harry A. Hotzenpiller, a highly decorated U.S. Army officer who is buried at Arlington National Cemetery with full military honors, as we just honored those on this Memorial Day past. That said, talk about the significance of that heritage for you, and then bring us up to date with your own faith journey, just how you came to faith in Jesus Christ, and just how you came to write It's Midnight in America. Phil Hotzenpiller, please tell us your story.
Well, you know, I grew up in a military, obviously. And so, you know, we spent a lot of time on parade grounds and military bases. And, you know, my dad was deployed multiple times. So, you know, it was ingrained in us that there was something very important about this nation and its foundation and the sacrifice that was made by many in order to ensure our freedom. So that was a natural part of my life. After high school, I pursued a law degree, and it was while I was doing that that I read the Bible. And I said, this is going to mess up my world here, because everything it said not to do it, I'd already done. And so I really pursued Christ, and through that I felt like a real call to ministry, and that kind of was the journey to get me from, you know, from the foundational point to through the law school into, you know, into theology. So I think that the book makes sense when you think about concepts like America, justice, freedom, and Bible. They all kind of coalesce, you know, in this book. And because of, you know, of what happened to all of us in 2020, this book actually was birthed out of our experience and our reaction and our viewpoint on what took place with the pandemic.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Dr. and Pastor Phil Hotzenpiller on his latest must-read. It's Midnight in America, and you cover so many topics so well, succinctly, and you make it crystal clear for anyone of any age, ethnicity, demographic to understand what's going on in America today, historically, biblically, and what we can hope to expect in our future. That said, you do break down the past, the future, and the present in your latest must read. Share with our listeners briefly, if you can, a summary of each, the past, the present, the future, and where you think we are today in God's biblical timeline.
Well, when we look back, I think we look back two ways. We look short distance, we look long distance. So if we look long distance, we see how God was, you know, the creator and maker of the universe, but God put things into place. He told us about it in Genesis 1, verse 14, that he made the sun, the moon, and the stars as signs and seasons. So signs are a big part of what God does, how he communicates. And part of that signage package, let's say, that God has are those who are called prophets, who heard from God. They spoke about things that would come to pass in the future, not knowing when that would be, what it would even look like. But we have prophets like Jeremiah who would look forward and see some of the things that I talk about in the book, or Zephaniah, or any of the other prophets. So what that does is, when we have that perspective, we can look back 2,500 years or more, we can say, wow, this validates Scripture. This also brings hope, because you know that the God who created is also the God who will culminate all things, and that he knows the end from the beginning. So that's why reading prophecy should not frighten us. It should actually encourage us, because we can see that God has a plan, and we're not just, you know, tossed to and fro on this planet by the whims of, you know, of politicians and powerful individuals around the globe, but we actually have God. Then the short distance is, we can look back and say, wow, let's look what happened just in the last 4 years. And that's kind of why I wrote the book, was I saw what happened. I wanted to look at that through a set of lenses, and I wanted to answer some questions that I think haven't been fully answered in a lot of books. And so some of the things were really, I just wanted to research it. I wanted to give an answer and try to make it easy and clear to understand if possible, and not write it for the theologian, but write it for the average person who just says, hey, I just want to know what's going on and how can I put my arms around it.
Amen and amen. And you've done that, and beautifully so. Ladies and gentlemen, again, you're listening to Dr. and Pastor Phil Hotzenpiller, his latest must read, It's Midnight in America. That said, your title, It's Midnight in America, what actually does that mean?
Well, you know, whenever we think about midnight, we think of two things. One, we think it's the last straw, but the other thing is it's great opportunity. Remember, it was at midnight that the lamb were sacrificed and Israel was delivered. It was at midnight that Paul and Silas were singing praises to God and the jail doors opened up. So you can look at it both ways. You can say, wow, we're on the doorstep of the end and we've had it. Or you can say, this is an opportunity to understand what God's written, what God's spoken, and fall into that too. So I think it can be used as a metaphor both ways. And that's why we included a subtitle in there to kind of remind people that it's more than just midnight. It's also, it's time for us to confront fear and embrace courage as the final hour approaches. So how long is an hour? Well, it's not 60 minutes in biblical timeline. It could be a minute, it could be 1,000 years, but we know that because of the signs of the times, the things that have been fulfilled, we are close to the return of Christ.
Amen and amen. I comport with that completely. Ladies and gentlemen, again, Phil Hotzenpiller. To that point you just made, talk about the spirit of fear that obviously was unleashed in 2020 when the COVID pandemic happened. And what you did as a business person and as a pastor to bring peace to your own flock and just in general, and how would you describe your efforts in closing the gap between faith and fear today?
Well, you know, we all can relate to fear. Fear is an emotion, but the Bible says fear is more than an emotion. It's also a spirit. And that's why God says, I have not given you a spirit of fear. Okay, but somebody has. Where did it come from? So we understand that fear can come from an emotional, just the human way we're designed, but also can be a demonic spirit. But what God has given us is love, power, and a sound mind. So if we look at it from that perspective, whenever we look at life through the lens of anything but God, we have great opportunity to increase fear in our life. Because we say, well, you know, God's nowhere to be found. I'm sunk. I don't know what I'm going to do in this situation. And yet, at the same time, if I say, wait a minute, God is my protector. God is my source. God is my strength. I'm going to rest in Him. So when the pandemic came, I think all of us reacted the same way. It was so new. It was so fresh. I don't think anyone probably didn't have moments of fear. It was just part of life. And the picture they were painting was so bleak, it was almost seemed impossible. They were talking about millions of deaths in a matter of days, and this is, you know, this is the worst thing that we've ever seen. We're going to close everything down. And it took me about 2 weeks to go, something's wrong here. This is not adding up. Nothing is adding up on this. And we decided that we were going to open our church. So we stayed open for a few weeks, closed for a few weeks. We just said, we're going to open our church and we're going to defy our government. Our governor was our first, our state was the first shelter in place state. He was arguably the worst governor. There's a couple other contenders. So I know some other states might want to claim theirs as the worst, but we saw what was happening. We just said, we're not going to do this. So we stayed open. We endured some raids by OSHA, by the health department. We had threats against us. We were called a super spreader. However, we didn't have anybody die in our congregation. We had people, you know, we did create an outdoor worship center as well. As we said, if you're not comfortable coming in, we understand that you can worship outside. And of course we did what other people did, is live stream. But I think the thing that really changed our church was a decision to stay open and to say, no, we're not going to bow down to Caesar, and we're going to stand on our constitutional rights. There's no exception clause in the Constitution. And so that really became, and so the crowning kind of act that we did, and that's why the first chapter is called, this is a dress rehearsal. Everything that was put in place for control and for profit. Those are the two things that no one can deny. It was profit and control. A lot of people are surprised when I tell them the patent for the COVID vaccine was established in 2016. So 4 years before we had a crisis, they had a patent on it. That's a little suspicious, if you ask me.
Exactly.
You know, and then I started studying a man by the name of Bitterman. Bitterman had studied the interrogation techniques of the Chinese and the North Korean for, you know, downed airmen. And he came up with Bitterman's chart of coercion. And he actually wrote it in, I think, mid-50s, if I remember right. It's been a while since I wrote that chapter. But he identified 8 areas of coercion that were used. And the first one, you'll find this one interesting, was that if they separated the airmen 6 feet apart, they didn't even have to put them in separate rooms. As long as they couldn't get any closer than 6 feet, they were in isolation, and they could actually control them emotionally. And I seem to remember something about 6 feet related to COVID, don't you?
Right.
And you can take those Bitterman chart. You can go through every single one of them, and I give you a relationship that had to do with COVID and the application. So it was a planned epidemic, in my opinion. And it was designed, I think it had demonic forces behind it, honestly. And I think it's really it's what the world will see one day when the Antichrist comes and seeks to move to a one world government.
Ladies and gentlemen, again, you're listening to Dr. and Pastor Phil Hotzenpiller, his latest great read, It's Midnight in America. The thought occurred to me as I was reading your book, if Satan can discredit God's holy word, the Bible, he can potentially, my view, rob a person of their soul. Case in point, reference to China, Amity Press. Can you explain?
Well, yeah. If you look at it, you know, Satan can't defeat God. He tried that once. That didn't work well. So what does he do? He goes after the image bearer, those created in the image of God. And in order for us to understand God, walk with God, is what we call the biblical revelation. And once we read that Bible and we come into relationship with the Spirit of God, we now have an insight. We now have what the Bible calls the mind of Christ. Now, we can choose to ignore the Word of God or ignore the Spirit of God, but it puts us into a real tailspin. So one of the things that I think is really fascinating is the kings of the East. You know, we hear a lot about China today, and we don't know what to believe about China. Are they a powerhouse or are they broke? You know, and we read about false cities, and their interference in our world and all those kind of things. But let's just separate some of that out of our mind. Let's just go to the Bible narrative. So the Bible tells us that there's going to be an invasion by the kings of the East. And the kings of the East will come into Israel, and when we read about it, they're going to cross the Euphrates River. Now, what makes that fascinating is that was tried once before, and it was back in the book of Genesis when the kings of the East crossed the Euphrates River. Abraham went down to rescue his relative Lot and defeated the kings of the East and sent them back. So I believe that the Bible always gives a glimpse or a shadow of that which is to come. And so when you see in the book of Revelation, you read about now the kings of the East, you think, well, there's a prophecy here, and it says there's going to be a 200 million men army. Now, that's such an astronomical number, because there was 100 million people estimated alive in the first century. So that would be like us saying today, somewhere, some country has an army of 16 billion people. Well, it's so outlandish, you would laugh. You wouldn't even give it any credence. But in 1965, in the May issue, Time magazine reported that Communist China had a standing army and militia of 200 million. Now, is that a coincidence? I don't think so. I think it's divine revelation. And this is what I mean. This is what gives you hope. The other thing that's really interesting about when you read the account there of China and this invading army, he saw three colors. He saw red, he saw yellow, and he saw blue. We know it's pretty obvious that red and yellow are the colors of the Chinese flag and the Chinese government, but also blue is a part of their air force. So when you begin to put it together, is it possible that John not only saw the army, but also John saw even the uniforms that they would be wearing and wrote about these things under the power of the Holy Spirit? I think so, and I think there's good reason for us to have complete hope and confidence in the Word of God for that. And we see how that plays out. Remember, Psalm 2 says, the kings of the earth, they assemble themselves against the Lord and against his anointed. So this is a typical pattern for world rulers, is to try to diminish the power of God and break the strongholds, the ropes that hold them back. But I love how God responds in Psalm 2. He says, he who sits in the heavens will laugh as he brings them into derision. So God is going to have the last word on all of these things, and people can be very confident. Don't worry about China. God's got China covered. And don't worry about your future. God's got that covered also.
I love it. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Dr. and Pastor Phil Hotzenpeller, his latest revelatory read, It's Midnight in America, Confront Fear and Embrace Courage as the Final Hour approach is so encouraging. I recommend anyone listening to this broadcast today to pick up your copy and share it with your loved ones. It will make it plain and clear and bring peace in the process. Now, worship and warfare are needed tools for every believer in these last days or any day, my view. Talk about other practical steps that will bring peace, joy, and an overcoming spirit in us all. As we read in Revelation 12:11, we overcome the evil one by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, the foundational scripture for this broadcast. Your thoughts, Pastor Hotzenpeller.
Well, the interesting thing about worship is, and this is really just giving him work, all right? So I can sing praises, I can play instruments, I can turn on my radio to music. But it says that God inhabits the praises of his people. So there's something, we don't know exactly what that means, other than that when we begin to worship, God feels at home. His presence is sensed and in our midst. And so I recommend people, I said, just put praise music on or sing a praise song. You know, if you don't sing well, wait till nobody's home and sing. But you can literally clean up the house, so to speak, by doing that. And one really interesting example is when King Saul was disobedient to God, and it says, and it said his rebellion was out of witchcraft. And so Samuel the prophet was very, very clear to say, when you departed from God, you went into witchcraft. And then it says an evil spirit came upon King Saul. The only time that King Saul found relief was when David played the worship music on his flute. And he drove demonic forces out of that area, that let's call it that geographical area where King Saul was. When the music stopped, the demonic forces were back again attacking. So we can do this in a very practical, easy way. Make it a part of your life, you know, to always bring praise and worship to your life, and know that God is loving it when you worship, and be in your house of worship too. You know, a lot of times we underestimate the value of church. You know, and Barna said a third of the people that attended church before COVID have not returned and will not return. Right. Now think about that number.
Ladies and gentlemen, again, Pastor Hodson Pillar, it's midnight in America. There is so much to unpack in your book. It's impossible to get to all of it in our brief time here today. So, ladies and gentlemen, you need to get your own copy. It's midnight in America, and we will give you information at the end of this broadcast on how to do just that. Pastor Hodson Pillar, tell us about AmericaFaith.com, its founding, and what the listening audience will gain by tuning in, as well as your views on a Trump 2024 win with all that is being levied against him, your thoughts, and the church's responsibility in view of the left's abject evil on display.
Well, you ask a lot of great questions there. Let me see if I can unpack them one at a time. So American Faith, I started it in 2021, and I did it because I was just, the news was not trustworthy. And I said, maybe we can find a way to get another voice out there. I really never anticipated it would grow the way it did and become what it has today. So now, from that little fledgling beginning that we had there, we now write about 35 to 40 stories, new stories every single day. We've got a team of journalists, got about 15 on our team now. We have about 22 million people on AmericanFaith.com. Wow. It's not Christian news, so it's not like we're not trying to replicate TBN or CBN. What it really is we're trying to take a Christian biblical worldview and give you news that's out there and try to give you more insight and reliable sources so that when you read it, you go, oh, this is what's really going on. And without all the woke agenda, without all the big pharma support, we just had our annual gala last Sunday, actually, on the 19th, and our keynote speaker was Laura Trump. And so our timing on that was pretty good, and people loved hearing from her. She was a strong voice, and if people want to hear that talk, they can go to AmericanFaith.com, and we have it posted at the top banner. You can just click on there and listen to what she has to say. And she does talk about everything from the court trial in New York currently going on, others. She talks about, she doesn't give any insight into VP. Everybody's wanting to know who the VP is, but she doesn't do that. But she does talk a lot about, you know, her family and what they've endured and why her father-in-law is in the race that he is. So I think American Faith will be a great, great insight for people. In terms of Donald Trump, do we really have a choice? I mean, I'm a Trump supporter, endorser as a person.
Yes.
Not because he's a perfect man, but I haven't seen any of the presidents be a perfect man. In fact, anything but that, they're all fallible. They're all human, and they all have their own issues. And if we'd had social media for the first 200 years of our American history, we'd probably be shocked about some of the things we would be reported on some of those presidents as well.
Exactly.
But I think the one thing, he loves his country, he loves his God, he loves family. And we are in a quagmire here created, in my opinion, by demonic forces working behind the scene to try to destroy the nations. And remember, the thing about it is, we get when the liberal press controls the narrative, they say things like, "Well, you're a Christian nationalist," and I want to say, "Yes, I am. Thank you very much. I love my country and I love God. I'm a Christian nationalist." But they've made that into a dirty word, and it's not a bad word at all. In fact, God is very big on nations. It says in the book of Matthew that he will judge the nations, not just individuals. He will judge the nations, and some nations will go into the millennial kingdom and some will not. It also tells us in the book of Revelation that there is a city, and there is a garden, and there is a throne of God, and a river. The river of life flows from the throne, and on either side of the tree of the river are trees that yield their fruit in all their seasons, and their leaves are for, are you ready, the healing of the nations. So not only did God establish nationhood in the Bible, but God is going to somehow continue nationhood even into eternity.
Fantastic. Ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to internationally recognized biblical and prophetic scholar, speaker, entrepreneur, best-selling author, and founding pastor of Influence Church, Phil Hotzenpiller, on his latest revelatory read, It's Midnight in America, Confront Fear and Embrace Courage as the Final Hour Approaches. You can learn more about Phil Hotzenpiller's work, ministry, and mission by visiting influencechurch.org and americanfaith.com, and get his book, get informed, and most of all, get inspired by the heart of a warrior, the courage of a Joshua, and the wisdom of a Solomon, traits made available to us all through his word and for such a time as this before it's too late. Pastor Hotzenpiller, Phil, sir, thank you for taking precious time to share your amazing work and obvious calling, mantle, and mission to not only speak truth to power, but dissect a biblical worldview in the midst of world chaos and church apostasy, practically, historically, spiritually, and in every way, making clear our real goals as believers in Christ Jesus and the need for fearless courage for the times in which we live. A great encouragement indeed. It's Midnight in America is that clarion call to do just that, and brilliantly so. We thank you and God bless you. It's been an honor.
Thank you so much. Great to be with you.
Testimony is a global broadcast made possible by the generous contributions of our valued partners at Jensine Bard Ministries and you, our listening audience. Together, we are reaching souls for Christ, one testimony at a time. If you would like information on how you can support this broadcast with your tax-deductible gift, please visit us at jensinebard.com. That's one word, jensinebard.com. And join the conversation at our Facebook page, Testimony with Jensine Bard. Thank you for listening, and please join us again for Testimony.